L-E-D-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Hour number two on a Monday afternoon right here on the grid, Sirius XM channel 159. The phone lines are open, 844-843-6879. But before we get to those, we're finding out where JP is going today in a game that starts before 8 o'clock, a side. Boy, this is a tough one, man. It is. Like, usually it's like, just throw one out there. But each one of them. Mm-hmm. There's heavy favorites and guys that typically people wouldn't be backing on, you know, younger pitchers or not a big stat line. I'm going to go Washington as a dog tonight. I'm going to go Washington as a dog up against St. Louis. What's your guess?
Tigers.
Olsen on the mound versus Lyles, who never wins. Mm-hmm. And they're a heavy favorite, too. Where are you at, JP?
I went with the Tigers as the heavy favorite.
How about
Thank
that?
Thank you.
Olsen, what, one start under his belt here, minus 148. But just the fact that Kansas City, and this is also the, you know, dichotomy of Major League Baseball. Like Kevin brought it up this morning on Moneyline. Lyles is a terrible pitcher. He gives you no chance to win. But he's going to get like his 15th start of the season. Do you see how crazy that is?
15. Yeah.
Yes. Like, dude can't win, but it's just lined up start after start after start. Because one Major League Baseball team is like, yeah, we're not burning any prospects here. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, they're awful. And I think, look, it's a sound move there by JP. Again, how often are you going to be able to get it? Jordan Lyles underneath minus 150 in terms of going against him. They've lost every single game he has started. He has one, maybe two starts that are acceptable. I mean, if that. So, you know, look, he's one of the very worst pitchers in baseball, and fortunately for bettors, he's on one of the worst teams, which means his job security is fantastic.
80 degrees at first pitch tonight. One of those guys, Kevin, where you just pour your pour a little bit out for the guy when he leaves because of how much a moneymaker he would be betting against. We'll see if he rises, because that's a bad Detroit team with a pitcher that doesn't have a lot of Major League Baseball experience. And they're close to a $1.50 favorite in the game tonight. So we'll see how it plays out, see if JP can cash this in. But let's get to the phone lines, 844-843-6879. Jordan from Phoenix is calling in today. He's ready to go on a Monday. What's up, Jordan?
What's good, fellas? Yesterday, you said we all saw that Beal, Bradley Beal trade. K-Dub, maybe you fill me in. You think DA gets traded next, or you think he's a part of the plans for Phoenix?
I think Ayton staying is on the board, but I certainly would be looking to move him. I don't think it makes any sense for this basketball team to have an offensive first center whose effort level seems to drop when he doesn't get the ball, and his touches are dropping, again, by the second when you look at the way they are starting to shape up this roster here. So I would certainly move him, but it's not a guarantee he's moved.
I agree. And then what's your guys' take, both of you, Donnie and K-Dub, on the Beal trade? You guys like it? How do you think it's going to work out or what?
I like it. I don't love it yet, but again, I always preface this by saying, Jordan, I'm jaded from last year's playoff run. But, you know, the same question was asked. Are they a better team today than what they were before they got Beal? Yeah, they're a better team today. So it is a good trade for the Phoenix Suns, yes.
It's one of the easiest decisions a front office has ever made in the history of basketball, and maybe the history of sports, quite frankly. They traded Landry Shamet and second rounders to get Bradley Beal. That's what happened.
I agree. And then I'm going to say, JP tonight, too. I'm actually going to play the Tigers. And then You guys know the drill. I appreciate you taking my phone call. I actually didn't share it with JP. I'm 33 years young today, so let's go. Let's win some bets.
Oh,
and, happy birthday,
man. Let's do it.
There we go.
Appreciate you, fellas. Have a good one, man.
Yeah, can never lose on your birthday, by the way. So fire away out there, Jordan, with a lot of confidence tonight. By the way, Kevin, the College World Series is underway. Stanford looks like they're about just to get underway today. Do you know who's on the mound? And again, the only reason why I know this, yeah, left-handed pitcher. And as soon as I, because he's a very distinct look, he's going to be throwing today. Everybody was up and all, you can't do that. 156 pitches. By the way, I don't think I ever got to ask you of that. I mean, you might have, think, might have been like a Tuesday or Wednesday when he threw that. Did you have any thoughts on a kid going 156 pitches in college for the win? Like, did it sway you one way or another? Do you have any thoughts or like, ooh, that's interesting?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably land on it's crazy and shouldn't happen. But look, I know that people kind of earn for the oh, my gosh, I miss when guys did this. But there's a reason they don't anymore, and it's because it's silly if they do. And the reason it's not like, it's not as hard to do it in college. No, it's difficult. It really is. But we just don't, you know, college, you're allowed to do whatever you want, I guess, right? It's what it comes down to. There's guys that play the whole game in a college basketball game, right? So I guess kind of those restrictions are a little bit looser there. But realistically, Donnie, should the guy throw 156 pitches in a game? Come on now. You don't have any, they don't have any bullpen recruits?
I don't know. Just trying to will him to a victory. But if you know, it's funny.
He
like you look
even
at
that
guy,
dominant. By the way, on that stat line,
he. If you're asking for a guy that's going to throw 156 pitches, I know this sounds weird. Like he looks like the guy that you would do it with, just like a 6'5", lanky kid, not like a you know a cinder guard who back in the day who was just throwing like his arm would fall off. He throws so hard. He just looks like he's out there just you know in that. Jamie, like, he throws harder than Jamie Moore, if anybody remembers how, you know, that lefty used to be. But he looks like he's the guy, Kevin, that would be able to throw a 156, and he did. And here we go. College World Series elimination game. He's starting. We'll be back. Hour number two of Moneyline. It's underway.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big week in the NBA this week. Draft going down Thursday night. Special here at the Sports Grid Network, live from the Ocean Casino and Resort in Atlantic City. And then Moneyline, live together once again on a Friday morning. But if we focus here on the NBA, we talked already earlier. Draymond Green declines his option. We'll see if he stays with Golden State. Zion could be on the move. Also, Bradley Beal already there. Two players still out here that will be moved or maybe staying on the same team. That's James Harden of the Philadelphia 76ers temporarily and Damian Lillard out on the West Coast for the Portland Trailblazers. Now, the smoke, obviously, is if Damian Lillard can be shaken loose, as I like to say, from Portland, that's a valuable commodity across the league that any fan base would get him and that contract and say, you know what, I like this move, let's get after it. The reason why I brought up those two guys is James Harden is looking for a big money contract, and he's eligible for, I think, 4 years, around $200 million if he stays with the 76ers. But the Sixers don't seem to want to give him that deal. Neither does anybody else. So the question is going to be for me, who do we think we get word from first? Dame Lillard, who seems like it's hot for the Miami Heat, and not necessarily anybody else, or James Harden, who is choosing between the Sixers and maybe some fictional teams out here, like, why isn't he already in Houston? We haven't heard any rumblings that Houston wants to give him 4 years for close to $200 million at this point.
Well, the Harden-Houston stuff, obviously, you can't finalize that yet. I think what the Rockets do on draft night will give us a little bit of insight as they're linked to either Cam Whitmore, the Villanova forward, or Amen Thompson, one of the Thompson twins who played with Overtime Elite. And if they end up going the other direction with Whitmore, that might suggest Harden is already in the bag, if that's possible. There have been some reports, though, that think where oh, maybe Houston is starting to feel like Harden is just using them for leverage to maximize every dollar he can out of Philly, because you can't get max dollar out of Philly if you're only talking to Philly, and you bring Houston into it, and boom, all of a sudden it works out pretty nice there. It does, though, and it is interesting. The fact that there isn't a third Harden suitor, seemingly, is a little bit surprising.
Like, they tried to bring the Lakers in on that, right? Like, he tried to bring that in, but they didn't really get any traction at this point.
I think that was just, like, honestly, and maybe I missed a different report, but I thought that was just Kendrick Perkins making, like, bold predictions on GetUp. Is there anything substantial to that in the slightest?
No, but it almost is like, you know, when the Lakers just, they're in on everybody, which nobody knows how they can be, but typically, exactly, right. Yes. Like, oh, if LeBron wants this, this can happen, or a veteran guard if he chooses to play for less. But also, you know what else I always get a kick out of, too? The Sixers are such an intriguing team to me, not because they're my hometown team. They're always priced appropriately as if they have a legitimate chance, Kevin, to win an NBA championship. And I don't mean being the favorites, because they're not. Denver Nuggets, Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks, you know, other teams certainly above them. But they always come right in the bottom end of, like, that. Ooh. Like, you have the haves and the have-nots, right? You can literally say, about 10 teams in the NBA, yeah, I could see if things break right, they can make a run at a championship. But the Sixers always in the middle of that. Never, like, to the back end. That whole, like, you know, 9-1, 8-1, 10-1, under 15-1. They can never get past the second round, but always get a lot of respect, at least in the betting markets, to open up seasons.
And well, that's my thing with that Philly 6-1. If you've bet that, one, you absolutely, without any doubt, feel that Doc Rivers was the biggest issue for that entire team. Which, people certainly might, but that's a starting point there. You cannot be betting 6-1 if you don't find Nick Nurse to be a monstrous upgrade over Doc Rivers. But also, you do have to have a lot of certainty that this is going to be a successful offseason, at minimum, with James Harden on his way back. You're not betting on a big three of Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. I know I started with Maxey, that's wild. But Embiid, Maxey, and whatever you get back in your Tobias Harris salary dump, like, that's just not legitimate.
And also, the Miami Heat, 7-1 price behind the Philadelphia 76ers in the East, where if it's basically, you know, hey, we don't even have to give up Tyler Hero to get Damian Lillard. And maybe does this throw a wrench into the plans here for the Portland Trail Blazers? Because I know when you're saying, like, hey, now's the time to get rid of them, there's a big package on the table. But we know the apple cart gets upset so many times between some deals that go down. Do the Heat now say, okay, here's what we're willing to do? They see the Bradley Beal deal and go, now hold on now. Beal just essentially went for a buyout and a second-round pick and a pick swap. Hey, Portland, yeah, we're not going to include this player, and this player. Mm-hmm. You might get something less now. Does that hurt the trade market from Dame Lillard?
It has to. And I know people are going to say they're not the same. They aren't the same, but they're not irrelevant. They can't be irrelevant to one another. If everybody is going to tell me that the reason Durant didn't get dealt in the summer was because of the insane standard that was set by the Rudy Gobert deal, then it has to go the other direction. When Bradley Beal goes for free, the Blazers can't then pick up the phone and be like, okay, 7 first-rounders, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, and Jimmy Butler for Damian Lillard. It's just, oh, okay, never mind. Hang up. Like, that's what it comes down to.
It's like the Rudy Gobert market. Like, what did Rudy Gobert just go for? Well, if he's going for that,
right,
who knows what the next legitimately good player is going to go for at this point. But I did think that was interesting, where it's like, okay, the Heat were probably willing to say, I can't even believe we lost out on Bradley Beal. We actually had a better deal on the table, but that ownership group was like, look, just get him out of the conference altogether. And sometimes you just can't compete with that. So now the Miami Heat set their eyes on Portland, which could be a good or bad thing for Portland by going, hey, you know, it was Beal, it was Dame, now it's just Dame, and you know, we're going to come play hardball right here with you, because we know how it's important for you to get Dame. Yeah.
Can I ask you, as a Sixer guy, are you upset that they weren't in on Beal when you see what Beal went for?
Not necessarily, no. Because also, like, what are you... The honest part about it is, what are you giving up for Bradley Beal for the Sixers? Like, everybody can say they want players. Like, hey, man, let's get on a Beal. Okay, you giving up Maxey? No, never.
No.
You giving up a Beal? No, never. Oh, it's Tobias Harris. And it's like, well, who wants Tobias Harris? So that's why, like, when I look at Dame, like, yeah, it would be great for the Sixers to get Dame. But unless Portland's just like, hey, look, Dame's been so good to us, Kevin. He wants to be a Philadelphia 76er. That's his last wish here. We're going to accommodate that. We'll take any scrap heap back because of how good Dame was to us. We're going to be to him. Outside of that, how are they getting him? Or a player of that ilk?
Well, so, again, but that's why I ask about Beal, because Beal went for what Beal went for. I think pretty obviously Tobias Harris and draft picks would have been enough to put you in the conversation.
Would they have done that, though? Would they have? Because let's just say the Heat were
Chris
in the same
Paul
conference,
going to get
though.
Traded for nothing.
No, I know, but it's a lot. Like, remember the Eagles traded, you know, Donovan McNabb in the division to Washington. It's like Andy Reid was so dastardly at that point. He's like, well, I already know what I got out of him, so we have no problem with that. But most people that make trades for players that they still think can play, they don't want to see them around. And they usually trade them out of division, out of conference altogether. I'm not so sure that the Heat, like again saying, maybe they thought they had a better deal on the table, just went out west because they just didn't want him in the Eastern Conference. So that's why I look at the Sixers similar to the Heat. Were they going to get him?
Okay, you know what? Maybe not. But they didn't even enter the race, Philly.
Yes.
And that feels like a huge miss. That feels like a huge miss. How are you not in the race if you're the Sixers? Where do the Sixers get off not being in the race for Bradley Beal?
Nick Nurse? Again, I mean, he comes to town. Is he saying no? Somebody's got to be saying no. You know what I mean? Like, Daryl Morey?
Yes, someone does. But, Donnie, we would have been having the same conversation, right? Let's say they re-sign Harden and they trade for Bradley Beal by getting rid of Tobias Harris and nothing else important, right?
There'd be
a lot of people on Twitter saying, I mean, the Sixers team's terrible. Harden and Beal, never going to fit. Maxie, what are you doing? Right? That's what would have happened, Donnie. For people online, it would have been like, hold on. They just got Bradley Beal in exchange for Tobias Harris.
Which would be wild, too. Yes, because Tobias Harris, I mean, as much as I say Beal's contract is ridiculous, at least you're, like, getting something out of him on the court. Like, Tobias Harris, to be close to a max deal, like, oh, man, he had a good game, 12-6. Stop the madness at that point. Much more NBA talk and Major League Baseball on deck here. Come on back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Early Major League Baseball game this afternoon, 4:05 p.m. start. St. Louis and Washington, Kevin. 90-degree temperatures here for first pitch. About 9-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to left field. Lineups are in. Josiah Gray on the mound today. He is going to take on Flaherty. The angle I'm looking at here to try to get after would be a St. Louis Cardinals RBI prop or two. If we're looking at Josiah Gray today, going up against right-handers for the past 30 days, an ISO power number of 220 and a weighted on-base percentage of 348. Paul Goldschmidt, who maybe that name will be coming up here around the trade deadline time, a 243 ISO power number and weighted on-base percentage of 385 against right-handed pitching. Also, Nolan Arenado having a very good season for him in a down season for the Cardinals, a 257 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 404. And also, Jordan Walker in the six-hole today as a right-handed batter, a 286 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 483. So even though I don't like the Cardinals per se, nor would I bet them to win a baseball game, I do think they have three legitimate guys in the lineup today for some RBI prop opportunities here, K-Dub.
Beautiful stuff. Now, the baseball board today does feature a couple of intriguing games kind of from that narrative approach. Mm-hmm. For me, the last game on the slate, Donnie, that Padres-Giants game,
yes,
you could easily and probably accurately say we are not at the point of the calendar yet where results matter. But the Padres being a slight favorite going into San Fran, a team that is currently on a 7-game win streak there as Michael Wacha has the ball. It's a game that really catches my attention, the series in general, too.
And by the way, good point you bring up there. Michael Wacha, Kevin, I have a pitching prop today that I went over in strikeouts with Michael Wacha at 4.5. It's a -148 price, so it's a little bit expensive, but I did think it made some sense out there. If you're looking at the last 30 days, which again, I don't care, as I like to say, what a pitcher did like April 30th, what's he doing now? Between 114 batters he's faced the last month, he's at 30% as a strikeout rate, which is 30.8 for lefties and 29% to righties. And how that matches up, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 batters anticipating the lineup today for the Giants with higher strikeout percentages than 20%. So 30, 25, 29, 33, 22, 26. So I just think it matches up well where I think he can get 5 strikeouts. And Michael Wacha, let's see what he actually did over the past couple games here. Last 3 games, 8-7-5. So he's been on it. The 2 games previous before that, 4-4, but 11 before that. So in the past 3 weeks here, excuse me, I say past 3 starts, 6 2/3, 6 innings, and even 4 2/3. Had 8 Ks in that game. I think there's a legitimate chance he goes over. You're paying a little bit of a premium for that extra strikeout, but I think he notches 5 tonight in that game.
Let me tell you this. I know I've not been doing them this year. It's irrelevant, but the value of a strikeout cannot be overstated.
Yeah.
If you have bet at strikeout props with any type of consistency, you have come to know that one strikeout makes all the
massive
difference. It doesn't mean it's not frustrating, but yes. I don't consider those bad beats when you lose a strikeout prop really by any margin.
Yes, and I would agree, because how many times you say, "Oh man, well, then he got the 5, but if you had 5.5 at like +105, like, yeah, it was really close. Like, that's what they're supposed to land on. Like, strikeout props very rarely go up to 14. Like, hey, at 14 Ks last night. I mean, it does happen at times, but where do you usually find the zone, Kevin, right? 4 strikeouts to 8 strikeouts is that zone typically. Mm-hmm. And 8 strikeouts for a very good strikeout pitcher, getting 9 is a really good night. So you're right. It's like, oh, what's the difference between like 3.5, 4.5, or 5.5? Massive. Because Michael Wacha tonight, he's probably going to finish, Kevin, with what? 5 strikeouts tonight. And that's where it's going to be and what that deciding factor is going to be. Also, if we're taking a look at an under for strikeout props tonight, if this game does play, some bad weather maybe in the forecast, the Chicago Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates today, I took Drew Smyly under 4.5 strikeouts in this game.
Okay.
Last 30 days, strikeout percentage for him under 20%. Lefties at 12.5%, righties at around 20%. But here's what I like the under for. The Pittsburgh Pirates, every single batter outside of one, Kevin, 20% or less strikeout percentage against lefties over the past month. The only guy, which is the one that you probably would want, would be Austin Hedges in the 9-hole. So you figure you get the least amount of bats here. But take a look at some of these percentages. Santana, 9.5. Ke'Bryan Hayes, 15.5. Rodolfo Castro, 3%. Mark Mathias, 6.7%. So I'm going with that angle tonight where Drew Smyly throws out his normal 80 or so pitches, but he stays under 5 strikeouts in this one to cash that bet. You know what I used on that one too, Kevin? My $25 free bonus bet from my guy Scheffler finishing with a top 20 finish in the U.S. Open.
Yeah, those. Do you prefer to use free bets on straight wagers, or do you try and maybe throw them in the futures market or parlay, or it just depends?
It just depends. Like today, that I was looking for a couple props here, and actually I forgot I had it. So when I was just going in the fire, a quick 25, you see the bonus pop up, and that's the only reason why I slid it in. But I would agree with you. Like a lot of times during football season where it's like, hey, you know what? Free same game parlay on Monday Night Football. It's like, yeah, man, let me throw the 25 in there and ratchet it up to like 16-1. Because if it loses, I'm probably going to get some money back in free wagers at that point. Yeah, I usually do that, but today I just lined it up there looking for a K prop, and that's what it came up with.
Yeah, because I had 2 free bets on DK somewhat recently, and one of them went on Sean Payton to win Coach of the Year, and then another went on Phoenix to win the title pre-Bradley Beal trade, like +850. I just, it felt like a better use of those $15 wagers, but if I do that every time I get a free bet, which how gracious the books can be with those, eventually I'm going to have the entire board covered, which got to be, is that really the way you want to go about things?
Yes, so you have $25. We figure they were losing wagers anyway. You stack 10 of them up in the NBA futures market, nail one of them and feel like a big winner. Because like, hey, they were never supposed to be my bets anyway. And as long as I get one of those that turns into a real bet, maybe that's a way of a better usage of that. But a decent Major League Baseball card on a Monday, 10 games. Tomorrow, full slate, 15 games. But I do think the best game on the card tonight by far is that Colorado-Cincinnati game. And you brought up a pretty good point earlier today on the early line about Gomber, who does have some interesting splits, obviously, between home and away. But the one thing also that you still factor in when you look at Gomber is those like XFIP minus numbers, which is the key ingredient. Now, granted, sometimes you ask those questions because you're right about anybody who pitches in Colorado is always going to be better on the road. And most of his starts come where? At home in Coors, which really jades that number. But the great part, Kevin, about analytics, and some people are still old school, like, hey, look, stinks, his ERA stinks, he gets hit around, that's all I care about. That's all fine and good. But when you're looking for numbers to try to separate it here, the XFIP minus number is huge. And you say, well, Donnie, what does the XFIP minus number actually do? Why is there a minus? Because there's the FIP, fielding independent pitching, expected fielding independent pitching, which is the, you know, X before it, and then the XFIP minus. Well, the minus gives you the league average as well as the ballparks that you're playing in. So it factors in like, yeah, we know he's at Coors. Here's what his real translation is. He's at a 118 for the season. 100, again, is the National League average where it would be. So he's 18% higher. Not totally disastrous, but still, he's not pitching up to his capabilities of what you would think. Lefty and righty batter splits on the road, even, Kevin. The XFIP is above 5, even though his numbers technically on paper are much better on the road. Some of those you can still buy into because also tonight, Kevin, he's not getting a lineup in the Reds that's like, hey, man, it's the A's. Like, they're going to score 2 runs a game, and that's just the way it's going to be. This lineup is coming in locked, loaded, and hot, which is something that's always fun to watch. And if anybody watched, Kevin, Colorado pitching this weekend in Atlanta, yeah, missiles all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except for my guys.
Which is still insane. I would actually think you should tell people that out. Now, those are bad beats, people. Those are tragedies and monstrosities.
Like, when your phone, Kevin, is buzzing off the hook, and every time, like, I'm telling you, like, there's new ways you can get, they're not even bad beats, though. Let's just say you look at Kevin, right? First and third, first and second, nobody out. Your guy's on deck. It buzzes. Like, oh, man, I think my guy just got the base hit. Like, no. The guy before you, 3-run home run. Like, you, because it clears the, you know what I mean? Like,
when that pops
up, it's the worst case. Or if it's, let's just say, first and third, one out, your guy's in the hole. Oh, inning over because the guy in front, he got a double play. So you need to get a chance to, like, you know, get in a bat with a runner in scoring position. Those happen all the time. And also, it feels like, and again, it doesn't happen, but some games, your guy leads off every gosh darn inning that he possibly can lead off. Like, look, I know he's going to lead the game off, but I expect him to lead off in the third and the sixth. Like, you either hit a home run or you don't cash your bet. Those always fall into it. More, that's more bad luck than just like, oh, that's the way I handicapped it. He was supposed to lead off 4 out of 6 at-bats he had. No, he's not supposed to do that at all, but that's the way it feels sometimes.
That's the injury argument, right? People bet unders because, you knew he's going to get injured, where yes, people were betting no on RBI props, maybe, Donnie, because yeah, I knew he was going to lead off every inning.
The ones that do are interesting, though, because I guess it's psychology. Like, let's just say, like, Ronald Acuna is an unbelievable player, but he leads off. And some people are like, well, I'm not going to take him at an RBI prop because he leads off. Because you do technically burn the first at-bat. But what if I would have told you, like, he's going to get the same at-bats with guys on base than, like, the 5-hole hitter because he's the 1-hole. And once you turn the lineup over, it's not like you lead off every inning as a new inning there. It sort of balances itself out. But that's why, like, those first two guys in the lineup, their numbers are so much better because, yes, you are actually burning one at bat, but long term, you're going to get an extra 30, 40, or 50 cents out of that leadoff guy who in the third inning is going to bat fourth in one inning with a guy on second base. Like, oh, here we go, as opposed to only looking at the optics, Kevin, of the first inning. I'm like, well, nobody's on base. He can't possibly do anything. I'd rather have the 4-hole hitter. Stop the madness. Take that big paycheck, people. We'll be right back rolling along here on Monday, Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do it. Another nice little segment here doing hour number 2 of Moneyline here on the afternoon on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. And when you get your calls through, we'll take them. 844-843-6879. Stanford, K-Dub, 2-0 here over Tennessee, early in an elimination game in the College World Series. Let's talk College World Series for a second here. Now, me, probably couldn't name any of the teams here in the College World Series outside of the ones that I'm watching right now. It's an interesting setup they have because you are crowning a true national champion in the same spot. If I was a college baseball fan, I think Omaha would be pretty fun to go to if my team did make the College World Series. But outside of that, it's never gained like my attention. I love Major League Baseball. I love baseball season overall. College football is awesome. I love pro football. Never really got into college baseball or followed it. I'm sure it's probably for most, even though when you look at Omaha, it's sold out. It's a big deal. It's, you know, ESPN. Is it because they don't show it a lot during, I guess, the regular season? Which, again, the Big Ten Network, the SEC Network, the ACC Network. I'm sure they're showing baseball games all the time, but it just doesn't have the same catch as the NCAA basketball tournament or even the NCAA season itself.
Well, that, I mean, and that's always going to be a big thing, is their regular season is irrelevant in terms of the public eye. And look, I think a lot of that can come down to the fact that prospects, it helps at minimum, are just irrelevant to the story there. You know, not everybody cares about college because of how these players can relate to the pro sports, the NFL, the NBA, but it's a piece of it, Donnie, right? I absolutely think it is. Now, there's also obviously just this established we care more about basketball and football, and it's reflected in the pros as well. But to speak nicely of it, anytime I've ever thrown, you know, a College World Series game, whether it's a qualifier, I like what I'm watching. Is like, I'm not watching intently. I don't have a rooting interest in it. I don't know if I've ever even bet a College World Series game. But I think it's an appealing product. I do. I think there's good pace. There's an expectation of runs. But even the lower, they move quickly. I like college baseball when it's on, but I don't seek it. I'm not invested.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people in those stands for all these World Series games. And also, when you see some of the super regionals, they are packed environments and a lot of fun. We just saw the college softball World Series last week, which had some pretty good, you know, fan support, as I would like to say. Sold out stadiums. I think this played maybe in Oklahoma State this year, something like that. But you can bet these games at FanDuel. Stanford 2-0 right now over the Tennessee Volunteers. Now, granted, it's still in the bottom of the second inning, but a -260 price on the Cardinal and a total is at 8.5. A game coming up tonight, 7:00, LSU and Wake Forest. With Wake Forest a -180 price and a total of 9.5. So they're not outlandish prices too, right? Which sometimes you'll see college compared to like the pros, like 8.5, 9.5, -180s. That's, you know, it's there's no landslide. Like, hey, you know, it's UConn basketball back in the day favored by 37.5 points.
Yeah, now there are some obvious like dominant performances at times you'll see on that stage, but that's true of all college athletics there. The top end of college is just absolutely embarrasses even the middle end of college sport. Just, yes. But again, that's commonplace.
By the way, earlier today, when we do the final, so at least I do the final segment of the day called Listen Up on the Early Line, the Antonio Brown, which we had a big weekend, right? It was like a news dump, like a Friday or late Thursday afternoon story where he bought into an Arena League team, and it's basically the owner. And just ran it so poor. Like, would it be any surprise? Like, not even surprised. Like, how many times have you seen some of these class action lawsuits come against Antonio Brown? Personal trainer, personal chef, moving company, not paying him, not doing this. He buys into the Albany Empire and doesn't basically pay, Kevin, any bills here. Fined by the league, doesn't pay it. Something was wrong with, he had to submit some documents in a certain time frame. Never did that there. The team's playing and not getting paid. He said he wanted to play for the team as a player owner. Never did that either. And they just kicked mid-season out, basically, his team out of the Arena League, Kevin. Talk about a return on investment for that one. My goodness.
AB is one of those guys that I don't know, like, is Antonio Brown ever going to be in the news again for a positive reason? Like, what was the
I doubt it.
Good AB story that ended up breaking DRS?
And I can't remember, but do you, like, remember, like, how it started? like Hard Knocks, Raiders edition. Like Antonio Brown's supposed to show up and was like, hey, by the way, he burned his feet. And away we went. Away we went down an unbelievable rabbit hole.
So I would argue, it's just we didn't realize it at the time, but I would say this actually started at the back end of the Pittsburgh situation, wouldn't you? I mean,
he didn't even show up.
Threatening to miss playoffs and all that stuff there. So, I mean, and once it, you know what's crazy though, Donnie? Honestly, maybe the whole thing. Would you believe, like, and obviously, would you believe me and you know the answer, but that guy won a Super Bowl after all that craziness happened. That's how damn good he is at football. Is that after some of the craziest stuff we've ever seen, failed attempts in New England and all of this, lands in Tampa Bay, wins a Super Bowl trophy with them. It's unimaginable.
And this was last Thursday's decision. It said it was the latest drama between Brown's tenure in Albany, which had players and suppliers complaining about not getting paid. So basically what that means is, okay, we're going to cater an event. I'm not paying you, even though you gave us food. We're going to do your laundry service. You're back about 4 weeks on this. Yeah, I'm not paying you either. And then the actual players who are playing the games not getting paid. And it says 8 players were suspended after one player filed an aggravated harassment report with police over a dispute that occurred on the team bus, which basically meant, like, I don't know, we're gonna play a card game, I'm not paying, and what, 8 players harassed this guy repeatedly enough to go to the police? And by the way, Kevin, this wasn't one that was like, hey, you know what, new franchise in this league, who knows how much money they're making, probably not that much anyway, but this was a back-to-back champion in the Arena League, like the team itself. Not like, hey, this is our first year, we don't really know how it works. Like, no, they won back-to-back years, and they got thrown out of the league trying to defend their championship.
Well, that's... I don't understand how stuff like that happens.
But 1-6 they were, Kevin. They're 1-6 where they got the boot.
Is this more evidence to you that basically any football league that attempts to run falls apart?
Yes.
That, like, no matter what the story is, Donnie.
Correct. Like, and I'm glad it's being brought to our attention this way, too. It also says the team had been through multiple coaching changes, and both quarterbacks on the roster were cut after last weekend's loss. So, I mean, nobody's getting paid. Like, hey, by the way, ring, ring, your agent calls. Hey, I got a chance for you to play up in Albany here. By the way, you might not get paid, and I don't even know if you're going to have another game, but, you know, get on the bus and get up there and see what you can make ends meet at this point. Mm-hmm. My goodness. So completely disrepair up there, which I guess is par for the course here for Antonio Brown. Interesting stuff all the way around there, but thought that was worth our while. Where every once in a while I look for I can always go back to the what the U.S. Open did or Major League Baseball with Ohtani. I'm like, man, this story popped up on my radar. I was like, I got to get this out to the people and just some craziness that's actually headed at that point. So there's your Antonio Brown update. Where he's going to appear next, nobody knows.
Nobody
knows at this point.
Is it bad though that I still think he could absolutely play at a high level?
He probably
can. In the league.
He probably
is that silly of me, Donnie? That's my true belief in this guy as a talent, as a player. And everything that he really does bring to the table in that respect. Is that silly to me?
The oddest thing, too, is like when he was like out of football but still working out, like you would get like those viral videos, but he'd be cut by the Raiders but be practicing in full Raiders gear. Like full gear, like at like a local high school field. And it always like caught my attention at that point. But don't you remember, like he burned his feet and then like he was off so far off his rocker once he left Pittsburgh. Like that whole Oakland saga was like, you know what, I just might retire because they're not going to let me wear this outdated helmet. Do you remember all it got so far down the rabbit hole for the Raiders. It was you couldn't even believe it. Like, I burn my feet, I can't practice. And then when I come back, I just might retire because my helmet, they won't let me wear my helmet.
Yeah. Didn't it start too? But didn't one, a very credible reporter put out he was going to Buffalo, by the way? Didn't that happen?
When?
Wasn't it when he was leaving Pittsburgh? Didn't they say he was going to Buffalo before he ended up going to Vegas. I thought there was like an Ian Rappaport. Let me see. Hold on a minute now. You know what? This is worth my.
So what? He went from the Raiders receivers to the Patriots. I mean, my goodness. He was flying around out back like he's finally free. Man, what a crazy Hard Knocks that was. Mike Mayock.
Agreed.
He was supposed to go to the Bills after Pittsburgh?
Legendary career with Buffalo. At 11:30 at night, Rappaport said the Steelers were closing on a deal that would send him to the Bills. Brown called it fake news at midnight. And then a Bills reporter said it was unlikely. Schefter comes out, never close to happening, dead on Wednesday. And then by that morning of the next week, the Bills released a statement saying that they had moved on from him.
This was when he was gone from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, so before he ever...
got to the Raiders?
Went to Vegas, yes. Or Oakland at the time.
Yeah.
He was supposed to go to the Buffalo Bills, according to Rappaport. he was like, this is a done deal. And basically, everybody, including Schefter, was like, not even close, brother. Like, not even an option, not even a story. No way, no how. And... I don't know. The Bills ended up releasing a statement being like, yeah, we're moving on. And I don't even know whose fault that was supposedly was.
Like, by the way, too, didn't Drew Rosenhaus fire Antonio Brown? Like, this guy just got so bad. It was like, you know what? There's probably money to be had with this guy if I can find him a team. But there's so wild and so much bad PR. It's like, good luck out there on your own. And even the crazy AB that you last time we saw, piecing out in the Meadowlands during a Jets-Tampa Bay Buccaneers game where he was throwing his pads into the stands and just jogged off of the field. You never see something like that again. What an incredible...
There has to be a
30 for 30. Yes, that had to be... Wasn't it? Well, who else would he have played for after Tampa? He didn't play for anybody, did he?
No, you're right. It's just...
Piecing out the crowd in the middle of not even like a timeout, Kevin. I think the game was going on down the other end, and he was like in the opposite end zone, waving goodbye and running out, and caught like an Uber out of the stadium. Man,
the whole Uber stuff was wild. I think that the driver he had, I'm not even going to try and remember, but the whole story was just completely outrageous.
Yes,
completely
which even outrageous. He was breaking COVID protocols, have girls in his room the night before games, and he got COVID, the girls got COVID, now the team's going, oh my goodness, man, never ending, all because he's a really good football player, and Brady's like, you know what? Hey, Bruce, I think I can win with this guy. Even though he's going to ruin our team, keep him around for a few weeks longer. I think we can make it happen. One more segment to go here on a Monday edition of Moneyline. Don't you go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment. Boy, time goes quickly here. What an opening to the week here, which as the week goes on, more and more is going to get underway because the NBA, I feel like, Kevin, on some of the shows that we do across the network, we're waiting on any minute, right? Are we on pins and needles right now on trades with monsters moving back and forth, all pro chances, all stars? We're waiting on that stuff.
Yeah, it's exciting but frustrating because I want to start betting some of this draft stuff here, but the second you get off of Wembanyama, it's like, I don't even know who's picking. Forget who's correct. Going anywhere. Yes. I don't know who's drafting in any of these spots.
Uh-uh. You're the same as me then, K-Dub. Same as me on that. How about this today?
No, don't do that.
What is it going to be Thursday night? First, Wembanyama goes in, and then what? What are we doing the rest of the show? Hanging out, relaxing, cocktails.
No, we're going over the superstars that are going to follow Victor Wembanyama. How about that?
All right, we'll see what happens here. Now, JP, he's got some action tonight. I'm looking at a few things tonight. By the way, Corbin Burns, Max Scherzer, and Hunter Brown, they each throw 5 strikeouts tonight. Plus 200 price. I went under Hunter Brown last time, Kevin, and it cashed in. Didn't get the 5. Mack should get there. Burns should get there. But Brown is going to be an interesting one there. But if you're looking just my bets that I have in today so far, Smiley under 4.5 Ks. Michael Wacha over 4.5 strikeouts. And how about this? Spencer Steer, Reds, 2+ hits tonight, Kevin, at a +160 price. JP, where are you at tonight? Yeah, we're spreading it around.
Let's take the Tigers on the money line.
There you go. Tigers money line tonight, rocking and rolling against Kansas City. Anything on deck for you tonight, K-Dub? Because we didn't have any same
game
parlays.
Can I get the Kings money
tonight.
Line? Man. Is there basketball? Oh, my God. Don't mention that. That's going to get us. All right.
Look at that. Yeah.
Those tomorrow.
Get back to the scheme. Same game parlay tomorrow. Number one overall pick, Victor Wembanyama. Yeah. That's got to be included. That adds major, major value. That'll do it for the show today. Always a lot of fun. Find the Wheels of Steel, JP, Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, Moneyline. We will be back tomorrow. See you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.